Good morning, everybody. It is September 21st, 2021. This is your home away from homeroom, the ADK homeroom, and I am your host, Frank. So good to have you listening here today. I hope that you had a fantastic day yesterday and you were comforted in your sense that all is right in the world when you maybe watched Monday Night Football last night, and just as it was ordained to be at the beginning of time, the Detroit Lions got crushed again, as always. Last night on the not-so-frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, the big thing to point out about last night, I guess, is how awesome Manning Cast is. Holy cow. If you were just watching the normal play-by-play with the color announcer, fine. You know, you can be comforted by the Lions losing again and seeing that the world is not a very different place from the one that you are used to. But if you were watching Peyton and Eli, hanging out with Peyton and Eli and all their guests over there, you got to see Gronk's dog on there. Got to see Favre talking about the Packers. It was a fantastic little deal there to have Peyton and Eli talking about the game. Feels like you're hanging out with them just as advertised. Highly recommend that. Today, we're going to be going through the science curriculum in American high schools and middle schools and elementary schools. We're going to be talking about our second in this series, what kids are learning in school. And yesterday we did what kids are learning about mental health in school. Today we are doing what kids are learning about science in school. There's a lot to cover, so buckle up. First, as sort of a disclaimer, let me just say that the faculty that I've worked with in the science departments has consistently been the best of all the departments. I do not have firsthand evidence that that is true in all the other schools that are out there, of course. I've worked in 5 different schools following my wife through med school and dental school all around New York State, but for the ones I've been in, and I do suspect it is true of the other schools also, that the science faculty benefits from having the most consistently awesome, most consistently excellent teachers. Now, I've seen it firsthand, of course, in the schools that I've been in, but I do believe it is true also that science is the best of all departments in other schools, because of 2 reasons. One reason is, if you look at the academic competitions that are out there over the last 30 years or so, academic competitions have really come into their own. But there are 2 that are head and shoulders above all the others, 2 that are awesome, and they both happen to be science ones, Science Olympiad and FIRST Robotics. These are amazing competitions. They fill up gyms, auditoriums, hundreds, even thousands of cheering fans. We did sumo bots out in Buffalo a couple times, and you had hundreds of kids cheering for their school in the auditorium, just like you would for an athletic competition. And you see parents posting pictures of their kids in competition with medals. It's a spectator event. It's fantastic. And FIRST Robotics is the same deal. It's extremely prestigious. How well respected is it? Well, when University of Illinois hosted the National Finals for Science Olympiad a few years ago, they gave full 4-year scholarships, no questions asked, to the national event winners. That's how prestigious and how well respected the Science Olympiad is. Every Ivy League school has hosted its own Science Olympiad Invitational, although Dartmouth does seem to be lagging a little bit now. Hopefully it'll come out after COVID and be strong again. And the other departments, they really have nothing like this. I said that these 2 science competitions were head and shoulders above everything else, but really they're head, shoulders, and rib cage, and hip bones, and tibia, and fibula, and Achilles, and they're everything above everything else. They're a galactic-sized body above everybody else. And it would be easy, right? It would be easy in English. You could have poetry slams. You could have Shakespeare recitations or playwright workshops or consultancy training contests. In history, you could have reenactment contests. You could have modeling. You could have archaeological digs. And obviously math contests, you can have computer programming and games and code breaking and AI, and you can have arenas full of Rubik's Cube type puzzles, or poker, right? Poker is an amazing spectator sport, and there's a lot of math to that. But they don't. They don't. Science does. So that's one piece of evidence why I think that, in addition to my anecdotal evidence, I think science is doing better than many of the other departments in schools all across the country, not just the ones I've been in. And the second reason I think science departments are doing the best in schools is they have been left alone the most. One way you can tell this is, if, for example, if you look at the de facto national curriculum, the AP curriculum, AP Physics C course, the calculus-based AP Physics course, has been untouched since its inception in the early 1970s. It is gloriously old school. And if you look at the next generation science standards, they're really not fully implemented yet. Stupid allergies making me sniffle. Sorry about that. So the Common Core, everybody hates the Common Core. It's terrible. My son just brought home homework yesterday that said the first step in adding 8 plus 5 was to make a 10. And you take away 2 from the 5 to make the 8 a 10. And then it becomes 10 plus 3. And that's 13. Oh, that's so bad for so many reasons. That's a valid technique for bigger numbers. But for 8 plus 5, just memorize that. You need to just memorize that. Okay? I'm sorry, but you do. Anyway, that sort of Common Core madness, that ridiculousness, hasn't really come to science yet. There are the next generation science standards, which are kind of the Common Core curriculum or Common Core equivalent for science. But for example, in New York State, the next generation science standards will not be coming in for science, for physics tests and for chemistry tests until about the year 2025. That's about 10 years after it was first put forth and agreed upon. In biology, in earth science, it might be coming a year or two earlier to the high schools in New York State, but for the most part, science has benefited from being left alone, and we haven't had to suffer under this new imposed by the Department of Education. You do this curriculum or you don't get your federal aid money. It's imposed by them. We haven't had to do that curriculum. So really, science has had, I think, the best ability to go forward and do the things that they need to do, and actual science with the best methods, unfettered by any commands from on high, whether that be in DC or Albany or anywhere like that. So for those two reasons, competitions being the best and the curriculum being untouched, I really do think science is doing better than the other departments. Now, let's look at what is happening in the science departments. Four main points here today. The first point is that the curriculum in science across the country, and especially here in New York State, ostensibly it is the same as it has been for decades. However, it is losing tremendous depth. And we'll get to the good parts about being the same for decades, the bad parts about being the same for decades, and I'll talk about how it's lost depth in a second. Let me go through my 4 points. So that's the first point, how it is the same but losing depth. And the second point is that, unfortunately, even though science often has the best faculty in the schools that I've been in, the science curriculum is not untouched by teachers in other departments. And some of the worst ideas in science education are actually unwittingly, perhaps, put out there by teachers in other departments. That's unfortunate. Third point is that, unfortunately, you only have to know a little bit of science to pass all these tests now. You can pass with a score in the high 50s, and the depth of the questions that get asked, for example, in New York State Regents exams, is really, really poor, especially in the living environment and our science exams. We'll get to that in a second. And finally, my last point is a big point. The kids are being taught unfortunately, that science is certain and that peer review means it is true, when of course that is not at all the case, right? All right, so let's look at each of these 4 points in detail. Let's start with number 2, where we break down the curriculum and we talk about how it is pretty much the same as the traditional science curriculum these days, but it has been gutted in terms of its depth. So we've got elementary school, middle school, high school, and we have the life sciences and physical sciences in each of those places. Let's start with the elementary school and both life and physical sciences. The main problem in the elementary school with science education right now is that there is no time. Elementary school science really only happens on maybe about a third of the school days. Supposedly, in my kids' elementary school, it's about half of the school days, but in reality, it's about one third because of the way that the curriculum breaks down and the quarters break down and they do reviewing for state tests and where that happens. And the problem is that on state tests, there is no science. There's math and there's English. And so that provides a great incentive for the teachers to steal time from the little science time that is budgeted for science and devote it to math and English, especially as those state tests get closer. And the other reason that elementary schools do not devote as much time to science as perhaps they could or should, as they definitely could or should, is that the teachers are not comfortable with it. The teachers in elementary school, they hardly ever take a physical science course in college. It's almost always life science to satisfy those distribution credits. So they're completely uncomfortable with and really unfamiliar with the physical science, really any physical science. Most elementary school teachers have not had physical science since high school. And as a result, when they get into the classroom, they shy away from things that they're not familiar with, things that they're not comfortable with. So that's a big part of not getting enough time too. When they do spend time on it in the elementary schools, what are they covering? Well, in the life sciences, it's all about the environment. This is a theme from kindergarten through 12th grade. Life sciences are completely focused around environmental sciences. Now, everything that is done is couched in terms of the environment. It is talked about how will this impact the environment? How does that impact the environment? For example, recycling. Recycling is taught constantly in the elementary school, and not just during science class, but during lunch and during recess and during class rule time. There is a huge emphasis on recycling and climate. Do they ever talk about how recycling is actually probably in many, many, many cases not a good idea? Partly because China stopped taking our trash, partly because when you emphasize recycling, you get people like the people who wanted to replace plastic shopping bags with cotton shopping bags, like the organic cotton tote, which there was just this great article in the New York Times the other day putting out you need to use an organic cotton tote every day for 50 years. To make it have a better environmental impact than just using plastic bags would have had. So yeah, recycling really not supported by the science in almost every case, and yet it is kind of the holy grail, and it's the most untouchable subject in elementary school science. It is just taken for granted, and it's everywhere, both in science and in the school curriculum as a whole. And if you talk about the physical sciences in the elementary school, well, the physical sciences, there's really not much to say because they hardly are taught in the elementary school. The teachers, as I said, really most of them, some there are some great exceptions out there, of course, and it's not necessarily the teacher's fault because they're following the curriculum that they've been told to take, but they really don't know and haven't been studying physical science, in many cases, since high school. So big ideas like energy conservation or entropy, these are not really there in the elementary school. When they do physical science, they talk about atoms by fifth grade. They will talk about light versus sound. They will talk about magnetism, perhaps, and they will talk about sometimes lighting up a light bulb, but there's no common underlying principle like conservation of energy or like the grand synthesis. Once in a while, the best of elementary school physical science is, and they do this, they teach the scientific method. That is great. They do that. The experiments that they do with that sometimes are a little bit not supportive of it. For example, they will get out a magnet and they will sprinkle iron filings over it and they will try to investigate that using the scientific method. It's a little bit hard to shoehorn such an experiment, which is a good thing to do, see a magnetic field, map it out, but mapping a magnetic field doesn't necessarily lend itself to the scientific method, especially since understanding magnetism is really a difficult concept to grasp, and it requires, if you're really going to get down to the nitty-gritty, knowledge of atoms and electrons and electric fields and changing electric fields, and that's going to be tough for an elementary school to accomplish. But it is great. They do the scientific method in elementary school, and that is great. Like I said, the science department really is the best off of just about every department in schools right now, and the elementary school curriculum is not bad. It includes a scientific method, which is great, and they do experiments, which is great. They just need more time. One out of every 3 days or so is not enough time. And the curriculum needs to be more cohesive. It needs to find some underlying ideas and unify under those ideas. For example, I was told one time that when I was trying to develop some professional development committee, I was on the professional development committee, and we were trying to get some professional development into the school system. And I said, how about we have a day where we have the kindergarten through 12th grade teachers in a subject talk about their subject and coordinate. This is called vertical alignment. And you make sure that you're using consistent vocabulary from K through 12. You make sure that there aren't any topics that are falling through the cracks in the floor, so to speak. You make sure that the kids are getting a cohesive experience from K through 12. Vertical alignment. Match up all the curriculums. Align all the curriculums. And I was told, oh, we can't do that, actually, because in the elementary school, the teachers don't actually have a curriculum for science. I'm not making that up. The school did know that this was not a good idea, and they were working with the elementary schools to get a curriculum for science, but it wasn't like this was a new school that had just been created the August before school started. This was a school that had been in place, you know, for a century or more, and they did not have a science curriculum at all in the elementary school. They were just doing hodgepodge, whatever each teacher was comfortable with and thought that he or she wanted to do on that day. So, and that's the best, right? That's the best of all the curricula. So it's going to be interesting as we move forward through this series and see what's being taught in the other subjects. Now let's go to middle high school, and in middle and high school sciences. In the physical sciences, it's pretty much what is expected. There's no computer science. Arguably, that is a math topic, so we're going to leave that for the math subject area when we get to it on that day. If there is one area of omission that's being left out here, at least from the next generation science standards that are on the horizon, it would definitely be circuits, which you might be scratching your head now and saying, what the heck? In this 21st century world where everything goes through circuits, why would you be eliminating circuits from your curriculum? I do not have the answer to that. I gave feedback on the National Next Generation Science Standards, but they did not listen to me. I was just one of millions filling out their little web survey form. In support of New York State, I will say that New York State, when they got a hold of the next generation science standards and they saw that circuits were almost completely eliminated, New York State did do a little bit to put circuits back in there. So great job to New York State. But in general, in the physical sciences in middle and high school, the basics are still covered. Atoms, forces, energy, reactions, things like that. But there is a problem, and that is depth of topic. We'll get to depth of topic in my third point here, still breaking down the curriculum. Now, life sciences in the middle school and in the high school, these are a bit of another story. Things have changed here, and just like in the elementary school, everything is about the environment. Recycling, of course, comes up not just in science class, but recycling is taught more than any other science in the high school because recycling comes up every day at the cafeteria. There are giant posters and signs up. The environmental club is constantly promoting recycling. They go into other classrooms and talk about it. There is an entire part of one of our buildings that is devoted to recycling, and there are field trips to support recycling. It's all over. And it really is a weak point in the curriculum because, as I was saying, recycling is really not supported in most cases by the science. In New York State, the high school biology course is not even called biology anymore. It is called living environment. Labs are a little bit different now. Middle school life sciences do far fewer dissections than they used to, way more environmental labs, like going out collecting water samples. Way more discussion of invasive species. Only recent invasive species, though, right? They hardly ever talk about earthworms. In the northern parts of the United States, of course, earthworms are very much invasive. The glaciers crushed all the earthworms during the last ice age about 10, 12,000 years ago. And there are some good signs, though, in high school and life sciences. For example, for years, Rachel Carson, who wrote Silent Spring, which was this book that talked in the 1960s about how pesticides, DDT in particular, was harmful to birds, and then that sort of kicked off the modern environmental movement. And Rachel Carson, for decades in our high school curriculum, was put on a pedestal and could do no wrong. But recently, I have seen some amazing, awesome stuff in our APES class, in our AP Bio class, APES is AP Environmental Science, where they're actually questioning whether it was worth it to suspend using DDT for that long. Spoiler alert, it was not worth it. There were millions of malaria deaths during that time that easily could have been prevented by DDT. And they also question whether Rachel Carson's science was really that good in Silent Spring, because there are some huge gaps in it, and you can easily make the argument that she did a pretty bad job of sciencing. So great improvement there in the high school life sciences curriculum over the last couple of years. But other than that, it is the typical life science curriculum. Molecular biology is given short shrift, unfortunately, until you get to the AP classes. The reason for this in New York State and a lot of states is that they need the kids to pass a certain number of science classes, and biology comes up first, and they want kids to pass biology to get that science credit so that they will graduate. The schools feel tremendous pressure, of course, to graduate their students and show that they're doing a good job. And so they really want everybody to pass. Biology comes up first in the science curriculum, so the biology curriculum has been terribly dumbed down. And of course, in New York State, it's not even called biology, it's called living environment. They don't do molecular biology. They do less molecular biology now in ninth grade than they did 35 years ago when I was in school. So that's unfortunate. But overall, the science curriculum in name is pretty decent. What is supposed to be covered is pretty decent. Let's get to the second point now. The bad thing about what's being taught about science in schools is really coming from a lot of teachers in other departments, or sometimes from the administration. An example, my school back in 2006, the The administration decided it would be a good idea for the entire school to watch Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. Now, before you say Al Gore had a point, the planet is warming, well, go back and look at that video, though. That is a masterpiece of scare tactics without actually committing verbally to much at all. In a speech, it is true, in 2008 and 2009, though, Al Gore did say there was a 75% chance that the North Pole would be ice-free within 5 to 7 years. A couple other speeches, he said that it was going to be, in all likelihood, completely ice-free. Of course, that hasn't been close to the case. And then that movie, it showed Manhattan flooding. That hasn't even come close. It implied polar bears were dying off. That hasn't been true. So the administration actually forced everybody to watch that movie. And then I, because parents complained, I gave a counterpoint to the movie. And as a result, it was actually a pretty cool day. At the end of the day, the kids in the parking lot, I remember the girls' lacrosse team was like almost chanting my name as I walked out to my car. They happened to see me over there. It was a fun day. Also, I emailed Walter Williams that day, and I just told him about it. The great Walter Williams, he wouldn't know me from Adam. But you know what? He actually responded, and we exchanged a couple emails about it. He was really kind and nice. So sometimes it's from the administration that this questionable science is put out there. History teachers sometimes, they try to teach that science is gendered, that we're missing discoveries because it's all been done by white males, or that we are hurting because science is dominated by white males. Sometimes I see in history people putting Maria Geppert Meyer, for example, on par with Enrico Fermi, or the women from Hidden Figures on par with Edward Teller, or Hedy Lamarr on par with John Bardeen. And these are just not equivalent. And history teachers should not try to do that. Another example of outside the science department, the science curriculum going wrong, in the ACT, the test, it's like the SAT if you don't know the ACT. The ACT has a supposed science section, but it's really just implying that science is reading passages and science is reading graphs. It does not really get into what science is. But especially with the way that laboratory science has been going during the pandemic, kids might easily think that reading and deciphering graph is what science is all about. Not so much. I guess maybe if you're a radiologist, deciphering graph is your key skill, but not for most of the sciences. So you've got non-scientists trying to teach science, and that is a problem. Now let's go to our third point here, and that is that you really don't have to know much of what is ostensibly in the curriculum to pass. For example, in New York State, you can pass the Regents exams with a score in the high 50s. And even worse, although they list, for example, moles in the chemistry curriculum, they will ask at most one question at the end of the year about moles. And it's never what you think of when you think of moles, and you're thinking of converting grams to moles or moles to grams in a chemical reaction. They never ask you, oh, you start off with 3 grams, here's your chemical reaction, how many grams of the product are yielded? They never ask questions like that. They might do a simple question like, if you have 12 grams of carbon, how many moles is that? They never get into the number of atoms going to grams. At most, they do one conceptual step from moles to grams, maybe moles to atoms, although probably not. And it's never put into context with lab data or anything like that. It's a joke, frankly, that they even include moles listed in their curriculum. I think they only do it to make people think, oh, well, they're still covering what they should cover. It is listed in the curriculum, and a lot of great teachers do moles, especially in their honors sections. But when it comes to the state test, you don't have to know it. You can easily pass with a 98 if you don't know any moles at all, and that should not be the case in a chemistry exam. Another example, you might not believe this, is in the 8th grade state science test, the lab portion, and the 9th grade earth science New York State Regents lab portion, they do the same exact labs every year. How is that valid? There is no way that is valid. So yeah, it's just what I said. Every single year, the state gives a lab test and a practical, and it's the same exact lab, the same exact exercise every year. So if you can teach, if you are teaching earth science, or you are preparing kids for the eighth grade state science test, you can do those labs ahead of time. You can drill your kids on those labs and drill it into them. When you see this, you do this. They don't have to understand anything. They don't have to process anything. They don't have to construct or model anything. They can just redo what you did with them, and they will be fine on that lab portion of the exam. Completely invalid, and yet it counts every single year in New York State. Now let's look at our fourth point. Our fourth point is the real issue with science education right now. Science education is not terrible. It really isn't. But the main problem, such as it is with science education, is that kids are being taught that science is certain. They're being taught that if a peer review happens, then you can take that to the bank. It's as good as gold. It's gospel. It's immutable truth, fixed and ever changing. Of course, that's false, right? Peer review papers are constantly wrong. The reproducibility crisis that everybody talks about, especially in the softer sciences like psychology, economics, this reproducibility crisis is focused on papers, all of which were peer reviewed, right? And just because something is peer reviewed does not mean that it is correct. People make mistakes. Peers don't even look at the papers that they're reviewing a lot of times. There are all these hoaxes with fake papers, computer-generated papers that have made it into peer-reviewed journals. And yet, our kids are constantly being taught, oh, if it's peer-review, it's all good. Just listen to the authority. The authority is peer-reviewed journals, and if it's in there, it is absolutely true. What really needs to happen is that there's a list of all the times in history when modern science was wrong. You can talk about phrenology, you can talk about ulcers, eugenics, string theory. Maybe I should do a whole episode on that, actually, and then point that out to students. But that doesn't happen. Instead, the teachers are presenting a single study, and if it's in a peer-reviewed journal, oh, that's it. You've got it. And if you disagree, well, then you're just being silly. You're being wrong, and you're not disagreeing for any scientific or any valid logical, rational reason. You're just being obstinate. You're being a denier if you disagree with something that has been ordained by the scientific community as true. That's silly for a lot of reasons, but that's the way that it is. So that's it. That's a state of science instruction. That's what kids are learning about science. It's pretty much the same topics, although much less in depth than they used to be. And the worst ideas that are creeping into science teaching, a lot of them are coming from outside the science department. And finally, that the idea that science is certain is being promulgated. And of course, that is wrong. Well, that covers it for our look at science and what your kids are learning in science. Not the worst department by far. And it's still quite possible for kids to get a good science education in a public school. Sometimes they have to go above and beyond. We will see, starting tomorrow, what's going on in the other departments. Take care, folks.